Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Have we mentally ever moved out of survival mode?
Yeah.
Or financially, are we still in survival mode?
Survival mode is such a great topic for people to understand what we mean by that.
Because my thing is, the real answer to John, to his question is, John, are you at a point where I can coach you to slow down enough in your practice to make the progress to get those assistants better, knowing that it may screw up a little bit of stuff in the short term.
No.
Meaning you may have a bad day.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple and dentistry should be simple.
We're a place where it's fun to work because the money is competitive everywhere. Yeah. So now I think it starts to say is, do I look like a place where people
how do you
want
this
to come
is
work?
Stand out?
How do I stand out?
At the end of the day,
out?
You know, you're getting an assistant for $18, $20, whatever, $30, $40, whatever the number is in your market.
Right.
You know, and so every ad is saying that. Like right now, hygienists are the hardest ones to get, right?
Yep.
So every ad is saying, we're paying X dollars, X signing bonus. So at the end of the day, when I went on Indeed, I looked at all these
you're
ads.
You're no different.
We're all the same. Right?
Yep.
So then how do you stand out? And one way is this career space.
Yeah. And my assumption is that you're listening, you probably don't have this. So like,
I don't have this.
And my thing was like, I was taking notes a second ago. I was like, people want a silver bullet. Yep. There's not a silver bullet. It's a lot of little things that add up to success.
One plus one equals win.
And so as we start to list these things out, I want you as the listener to say, do I have this? Do I not? And for every one that you don't, it's like an exponential impact that you're having that's holding you potentially back. So one was this idea of a careers page.
And the other thing about the careers page is now your patients that are going to your practice, they see that you're growing and they start saying, oh, this place is hiring.
We've had patients refer their family members or their friends to work for us. I mean, it's crazy.
Because your patients don't know if you're hiring or not hiring, but when they go to your website and you have a careers page, you know, that sends a message. And at the end of the day, if whatever result you want, I was doing this with one of our coaching calls the other day. I was like, look, you have to let your community, which is your market that you're in, your 10 to 15 mile radius, that social media, website, XYZ, you got to let them know what you do or what you want. Okay. Because you can't get out of anybody if you don't tell them what you want. So a careers page is telling the world what you want.
Another thing we've done is video content, right? How can we leverage video content to show people what we're about, what we do, et cetera. And so if you look at our social media platform, we spend a lot of time not only targeting marketing to patients with before and afters and your typical things that we use it for, but also to promote the culture of what it looks like to work here.
Yeah.
So that's whether that's fun events, that's TikToks, all that silly stuff that we think is a little annoying. We don't look at that as necessarily patient attraction. We look at that as team member attraction. Yeah. So I would say we allocate at least probably 20% of our social media platform directly to attract team members, not to attract patients.
And I want to talk about that. One point on that is the hero, which is the star or the center of the video, is not the dentist.
Yes, this is good.
Okay, the hero, because I want us to understand this concept when we do videos. Like I don't want to be the video. Anyway, I'm not going to dance and do all that.
Sure.
I'm not going to do that stuff that you guys, me personally, but some of my team members will. And team members aren't choosing the doctor. They're choosing the other people. I will tell you, like 80% of people leave an office because, not the dentist, but because of their interactions with other team members. So the hero in these videos that Sully's talking about has to be the team members. It's got to be the focus on the team, their laughter, their enjoyment, their love for each other. That's got to be the hero. The hero isn't look at our technology, look at our, because none of those things make you stand out anymore. Technology does not make you stand out. Your location doesn't necessarily make you stand out. You know, your building doesn't necessarily make you stand out. What makes you stand out is people and how people get along and how people interact with each other and how people support each other and how people make it a safe place to be. So the hero, or the star of that particular videos, and I also like that you mentioned that it's not like that's all you guys do. It's 20% of what you do, but the hero of that is the other team members, not the dentist, not the practice, but the team members.
Yeah, so what that would look like in our practice would be when we're looking to hire a dental assistant, we're going to do a video talking about our dental assistants.
Yeah.
Like we'll promote what the assistants do, we'll have the assistants talk about the practice, what their role is, what they get the opportunities to do. Like we promote the department or the people within that department to attract those people.
Yeah, and the dentist may not even be in the
They're
video.
They're not usually. Now we do have, I think, a unique video as well that we do. When interviews come in, we have a video that my dad have made that we give them to watch on like an iPad that's the Sullivan Dental Partners story, right? So that we're trying to build in that if you come work for us, you get to be a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
There's
impact, history, there's legacy, history,
there's all these things, all the things that we would want to say, hey, this is our calling card. Mm-hmm. We're going to show that to the person so they know, oh, this isn't just some other dental office that I'm going to interview at. There's something special about that place.
You know, what I read.
Yeah.
So we have a few of the guys and gals here from the Mastermind, and we were asking them what are the challenges in their office. We'd love to talk about the podcast. And John was talking about how he's got to train two new assistants, and that's kind of what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so let's go.
Yeah. So like when I look at so to me the challenge is always like when I want to train new people is most people think that training is I'm going to have a team meeting, I'm going to meet one on one, I'm going to show you something. And then we're going to let them run with it.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. And I'll give you a very impactful example. So we've got a new hire, a new assistant. And we're trying to train her to help handle some of our new patients, almost like a new patient coordinating assistant that would do workups and treatment plans. And she really has no experience in this. And so yesterday I come down and Jess, who's one of our treatment coordinators, who's a great team member, who's
tenured
been
team member.
Yeah, very tenured, who knows it. I'm asking her how it went and she was like, well, it went good. And I was like, well, did you get scans or digital impressions? And she said, well, we were running behind. So we had Claire come in and do it. And I said, what scanner did you use? Now, meanwhile, for you all listening, I just bought a Medit that is literally permanently in this room for them to use. And she says to me, well, she went and got the prime scan. And why did she go get the prime scan?
Because it's easier, faster.
It's what she's used to. It's what she knows. That's the real reason, right? So I had a very open conversation. I think this will start to paint the picture of the cost. And I said, Jess, why didn't you let Blakely do the scanning? She's like, well, she's only done it like one time. I'm like, and why didn't we use the scanner that
she's going to use
for this room? And she's like, well, then we would have been behind. I'm like, exactly. That is what slowing down to speed up means. It means that it may wreck part of my day. We may lose the case.
Yeah.
It may create an experience that's not ideal. It may put someone else behind. But the cost of doing the hard work in the moment, of that impactful teaching at that moment, is so much greater than the quick fix, And so that was my big message to her. And like, to me, that's really been something that I'm trying to get people to understand is that it's not the team training where it's like, hey, we're all going to get together, we're going to practice Medit scans. It's when it's inconvenient for you and the practice to learn, that's when it's the most important.
Yeah, because that's crunch time.
Yes.
It's game time. Like, you can simulate games all day long in non-hitting scenarios, but, you know, once you get hit and the game's on the line and you got to get done, that's when it really matters. And that's kind of to your point, is we have to go through that pain. And most of us, I call it, we coddle people.
Yeah. You know, or, I think we enable them.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I told Jess, I said, the enabling that you did to those team members was that you let them, instead of being the leader, it says, hey, I know you're going to have to struggle through it. Yeah. And maybe you struggle through it for 20 minutes, and then I step in. But by letting you have someone else, now we just kick the can of our progress down the road.
Yeah. I want to give an example of this from my practice that I'm doing myself, that you just kind of helped me understand. I don't want to give you too much credit. I've given you one credit every episode.
That's it.
The max I'm going to give you. Is an area that a lot of people struggle with this is, that I'm struggling, is letting your associates do the consults.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Okay. Well, I would say maybe even making it bigger vision is just letting people fail around you.
Yeah. And the reason I bring this up is, so many times, kind of to the employee story, is we're in survival mode. We lost an assistant.
Yes. Yep.
I got to get an assistant. I got to get this case because, you know, we got to make our numbers or X, Y, Z. That's why it's easier for me to do it. And there's so many times, like yesterday, I had this consult that I was there for, and it wasn't mine. It was Dr. Hetrick's. And there's a part of me, let me just go in and do it and I'll just get this done. And luckily she gave me pushback and she said, no, this is mine.
But most team members won't do that. Yeah. Most doctors won't, because they don't want to be put in this awkward situation of struggling through it.
Yeah. And great, you know, and maybe we won the case. Maybe we didn't win the case. But what we did do is we made progress.
Oh my gosh. And that progress so I think this gets back to sometimes what we discuss, in that have we mentally ever moved out of survival mode?
Yeah.
Or financially, are we still in survival mode?
Survival mode is such a great topic for people to understand what we mean by that.
Because my thing is, the real answer to John, to his question, is, John, are you at a point where I can coach you to slow down enough in your practice to make the progress to get those assistants better, knowing that it may screw up a little bit of stuff in the short term?
Yeah.
Meaning you may have a bad day, you may have to work through one.
Let's talk about being more productive before we talk about how to get less patients. So how do we solve the more production problem in our practice, whether we're busy or not busy enough, or whether we have enough patients or too many patients or not enough patients? The answer is always the same. What we have to do are two things when it comes to solving the problem of, I need to have more production. For whatever reason in your life, you need more production. Number one, the easiest way to do this is a concept called fewer well-planned visits. And number two is, say yes to the best dentistry. You've heard me talk about these before, but I'd like to explain it and spin it in a different way that applies to the current problem that we're facing in dentistry. Okay, so what does fewer well-planned visits mean? Very simple. It means take the dentistry that the patient needs, all the dentistry you're already diagnosing, just diagnose, get permission to diagnose it on the front end all at once and present it to your patient to do it all at once. I'm not talking about making up any dentistry. I'm not talking about upgrading fillings to inlays or upgrading things to onlays. Or, you know, I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm not talking about doing 10 or 12 units or full mouth rehabs or any of that stuff. I'm just talking about taking the patient base we have and the dentistry we already know how to do and just taking a step back, giving the patient a chance to look at the overall big picture and asking the patient if they would like to do all the dentistry in as few as one visit. Okay, and the truth is when you present it that way, it's almost a no-brainer. A, who doesn't want to get all the dentistry done? And who doesn't want to get it done all in one visit? You know, then what happens is it creates a new problem. The problem is, how do I afford it? Wonderful. That's when we talk about financing, payment plans, all the different things that we've talked to you about ad nauseum here on the podcast. So hopefully this gives you an idea of what I mean by fewer well-planned visits. This is how you increase productivity in the busy general practice or with the dental school skill set or the slightly advanced dental school skill set. Fewer well-planned visits. So we're doing all the dentistry you do in a year, we're just instead of seeing thousands and thousands of patients to do it, we're now consolidating it to a quarter less patients, a third less patients, maybe even a half less patients than you're already seeing. And when you do that, you need less people, you need less team members, you need less everything, you're more profitable. All those things are side effects of doing that. So that's the fewer well-planned visits part of this. Now, let's go to the concept of yes to the best. Now, yes to the best is about doing elective, wanted, slightly needed dentistry, giving your patient a chance to say yes to the best. So for example, is it the best practice or best for the patient that they get a night guard? The answer is yes. Do they have to have a night guard? No. Okay, is it best practice or best for the patient that we give them a chance to replace their missing teeth? The answer is yes. Okay, do they have to replace the missing teeth? The answer is no. So that's yes to the best. Is it better for patients to have straight teeth? The answer is yes. Do they need to have straight teeth to live? The answer is no. So that's yes to the best dentistry. You know, and that's really about permission and choice. Asking the patient, have you ever thought about straightening your teeth? Have you ever thought about replacing your missing teeth? Have you ever thought about protecting your teeth from wear and tear? Simple questions like that, and then accepting the patient's answer. The patient may say, I'm not interested. The patient may say, tell me more. The patient may ask more, you know, detailed questions. Answer the questions. So that's yes to the best dentistry. You know, it is partly related on your skill sets that you have. Notice one of the things I didn't talk about because I don't do it a lot myself, gingival recession. How many of our patients walk in through our practice on a daily basis that could benefit from gum grafting? If we had that skill set, we would offer that to the patient as yes to the best. Now, I can argue that you should offer your patient yes to the best, whether you do it or not, and give them a choice of going to see the specialist or another practice that does it. But the concept is the same, giving your patients a chance to say yes to the best. Give them a chance to say yes to doing dentistry that they could benefit from and they probably want, but they don't necessarily have to do. There's nothing wrong.
So as a team member, how I would feel is my doctor went to implant training. Yeah. He came back. He starts diagnosing implants. We don't know the workflow.
Right.
We don't know what comes next. I don't know how long, as the treatment coordinator, as an assistant, as the front desk, which I've worked in all of those positions, what comes next? I haven't been taught to present it as tooth replacement therapy, right? So obviously we know, number one, this is not being presented as tooth replacement therapy. There's no way. But two, I don't know when the next appointment comes, right? So the doctor came in, diagnosed the extraction graft, and that's what I presented. So it may have started with not giving the patient the chance to say yes to the best from the doctor's diagnosis.
Yes, to complete treatment at that point,
right.
Yeah.
So from the doctor's diagnosis, it may have come from not knowing what the workflow was, the assistant not knowing how, our assistant's schedule in the back.
Right.
Our hygienist's schedule in the back, not just recalls. They schedule
treatment,
minor treatment. They schedule anything that's been paid for with an FA. So if your clinical team doesn't know how to schedule, or you have someone up front who says, no, only I can schedule, then yes, things
are easily. You mean Big Bertha that controlled the books?
Well, that's a way to put it.
That's what it is.
Then you're going to run into these things. And so as the assistant, when I'm seeing a good time for this is, you know, when I'm seeing the patient for the post-op of the extraction graft. Hey, your next step is going to be this.
We typically
will be able to place your implant in 4 months. So in 3 months, let's get you in for some records. We'll check, make sure everything's healed correctly. We'll get some scans, some photos, and then we'll get you scheduled for your implant placement.
Yeah.
And if you're a doctor who schedules 6-8 months out, go ahead and schedule both those appointments.
Yeah, go ahead and pre-schedule.
You know? And then if the assistants don't know how to do that, then that's where bringing in and having a treatment coordinator, one, to keep everyone, these patients should be in a spreadsheet somewhere.
Yeah.
These patients, you know, check off their first beginning.
Or a whiteboard, like we keep them on a whiteboard.
Yeah, so where you can see them, somewhere, a list that you can see, to making sure you're holding their hand and kind of being their patient advocate and moving them down the line.
Yeah.
So best case scenario, the assistant, after the treatment coordinator has set them up for everything. However, the assistant typically cannot keep moving them down the line if they're not set up for a full payment plan.
Right.
So that's where the financial menu comes in and really gives us the benefit to be able to pass the patient down the line where the assistant can take over. Otherwise, they have to come back to the treatment coordinator each time to set up financials.
Yeah, so that's a mouthful there.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think what as you were talking, I diagnosed the fundamental problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the fundamental problem is Dr. X and many of you and so many of us, we are so focused on learning the clinical skills that we never learn the team training and the implementation skills. And then what happens is the doctor goes alone to a training program. They come back and they try to, you know, just clinically implement the clinical portion of this stuff and doesn't take into account all the stuff that it takes to make these things happen. And that is so endemic in dentistry, is that we just keep taking clinical training. Like getting smarter is going to make you a better business person. It's just not always true. It's not enough, especially today. You know, when you take training, you've got to take your team. And while you're at the training, you've got to say, now, how do we implement this in our practice? What is the plan? Who's going to do what? That's the point of bringing team members. That's why you have dinner time with them. That's why you have break time with them. That's why a good training program builds time in for you and your teammate to sit down and say, now, how are we going to implement this? Yeah. And we see it all the time in our live patient training. The dentists that bring team members to the training go back and they zoom faster. You know, the dentists that don't bring team members, they go back and they struggle because then they go back and they get frustrated because now they're trying to train team members. And the truth is they're not equipped. That's not their strong suit to train team members. Their strong suit is to do the dentistry.
You know,
that's what 3D dentist is here to train the team members. That's what we do unbelievably well. And in my opinion, we do it better than anywhere else, is we train the basic fundamental concepts of how to implement this into your practice. Another thing I do want to mention, the doctor does not speak at the morning meeting outside of anything urgent, basically
going on.
So I'm just there as a participant listening to what's going on. So I want to repeat that. The doctor is not leading the morning meeting. Okay. The morning meeting is facilitated by the office manager, team leader. And then each team member that owns a column will then present or share about that column. So in my case, Masha shares my column, Isabel shares Dr. Hetrick's column, so-and-so shares Dr. Shake's column, the hygienists share their own columns, Liz, as an assistant provider, shares her column. So those are the kind of things that we're sharing at the morning meeting.
And then once everybody has gotten through their kind of provider rundown of either what they need for the day or how they can, you know, another thing that's really good is maybe Liz would be like, I don't have any consults this afternoon, or our treatment coordinator mm-hmm. would be like, I'll be completely available this afternoon if anyone needs me,
right.
you know, or I'm going to get my calls done this morning, so I'm available this afternoon.
Right.
So that's nice to know too, because in the back of your mind, it's just, you know, someone's there if you need to call out for help or, you know, any have somebody available like that. So then we move on to back to the team leader,
mm-hmm.
Is an office win. This could be, you know, something positive typically.
You got to manufacture it if there's nothing positive,
yeah.
right?
So a review, a compliment from a patient, maybe sometimes patients email in a compliment. They've left a Google review that's really nice. A goal that's been set. Sometimes we hit non-production goals. Sometimes we set
video testimonial.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of these office wins. Like subconsciously, you should be
not
sharing.
Not always numbers.
You should always share what you want more of.
Right.
So if we want more Google reviews, keep sharing Google review
yeah.
wins.
Right.
You know, and then what I would say is point out, oh, so-and-so, Meredith, you were mentioned in our Google review this week.
Yeah.
And the other team member's like, hey, I want to get mentioned in the Google
right.
review. Kind of create that little culture of competition. Or, hey, I'm just using you because you're in front of me. Hey, Meredith got a video testimonial this week. Great job, Meredith.
Yeah.
And the other team member's like, wait, why? You know, they want to create a little bit of culture of competition
yeah.
there.
And then there's a couple ways I've heard that people do this next thing, but it's anyone looking to share a win mm-hmm. or a win to share. This could be a kudos. This could be a high low. I even heard one office say they do happy crappies.
Yeah, I don't
happy
know.
Happy or crappy.
Like I would think about it as a happy poop.
Yeah, no. Like they either share something good or bad.
Yeah.
But I think with the bads is more like, hey, you know, yesterday I had an Invisalign patient and I was running behind. My next patient came early. I just really want to say thanks to Jesse for seeing my patient for me, or at least getting them back and getting them ready. That really helped me. And it's just like when you're able to appreciate and say it like that, like the rest of the teams goes, I could have helped her and I didn't even realize it, you know? I didn't even have to ask. So it's like kudos. It's, or maybe the office manager is like, you know, Meredith has closed 3 Invisalign cases this week. That's awesome. Or Megan has done so much in treatment, or 3 arches, or, you know, everyone has their goals for their different thing. And that might not be the whole office a part of, but it's nice to share those, to know that as a team, Liz, yes, Liz hit her goal. She doesn't always get there alone.
Right.
Especially, you know, in the beginning when hygiene is referring.
Or she definitely doesn't get there alone.
All of those, referring all those sleep studies that, you know, once hygiene refers those sleep studies, they typically never hear anything.
Yeah, the hygienist doesn't know.
They don't know. So for them to hear, like, these people are turning into production and collections, that benefits them too, but it's nice to just hear it. So I think that helps, that is like a huge culture at the end, the kudos and all of that with each other. And so I think that's a really good way to wrap up morning meeting. Because again, this should only be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like what I hated the most was we started at 7:45 at the time.
Yeah.
Our patients started at 8. Morning meeting would go till 7:59.
Yeah, that's no good.
I mean, I would you're literally like running around to go get your patient back. And I would be there in time to set up my room before, but like, dang, you can't even have a sip of water or catch a breath.
Yeah, like you should have done that before you got there.
Right. Like, yeah, but that's what we're having this is to avoid that,
yeah,
right?
I get it.
And so, you know, make sure this lasts
10 minutes
max.
Yeah. And if you say, oh, we need more time, no.
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes, man. You got to get this done. So in a perfect world, we start 15 minutes before our first patient. We went on morning meeting. We'd done 5 minutes before our first patient. Mm-hmm. So that gives us 10 minutes to do this. So everybody's got to be prepared.
Right.
They can't
My biggest pet peeve is people getting peeled back at 8:05. It's like, well, we had morning meeting.
Yeah,
like,
no. 8 o'clock. Let's rock and roll. So the last thing...